Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we just invite your spirit this morning, Lord. We invite your spirit, God. We ask you to come. Holy Spirit, come dwell in this place this morning. Oh, let your Shekinah glory fill this place, fill this mall. Let your Shekinah glory just drip down on the handles of the doors, oh God, as people begin to make their way into this place, Father. Oh, let it just be a dripping, Father, that they feel it as they, like a perspiration, God, as they feel it as they open up the doors, God, that they go to wipe it down on their sides. Like, what does this do, God? Let it be your Shekinah glory this morning, Father. Oh, ayari arabose, we need it, Father. We need it, Lord. Oh, let there be a density, Father God, a thickness, Father God, a spiritual fog delay, Father God, in the realm, Lord God, where we would want to push past this time, Jesus. Oh, but we just let it just come, Lord. We just say, just come, Lord, this morning, Father. We just rip off everything else that we've been dealing with thus far, God, in the heavenly, in the earthly realm, Father God. But we say, we just rip off all the time. We just rip off all the madness that may be seeping through our minds right now, Father God, and we say, come, Lord. Your Shekinah glory, come and replace the madness, Father. Replace the emptiness. Replace the confusion, the doubt, Father. Oh, let your Shekinah glory come, for we need it in this place. Right now, today, it's a new day, and we thank you for the new day, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we can't
thank
make you, it without
Jesus.
You, Father.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Good evening. We thank you for coming and joining us today on the Warfare Hour, and we just praise God that you are here with us on today. We bless God that He's been a great and wonderful God, and that He's given us all that He intended for us to have on today. As we go forward today, we continue to bless those that are sick, and we give a great praise report that our own evangelist Hannah is out of the hospital, hallelujah, and that our own sister Marie Elliott Barnes is also out of the hospital, hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, O God. And we continue to praise you, O God, for those things that you do concerning those that are suffering through bereavement, O God. And even as we come together right now, Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank the Kingdom Builders International for allowing us to come forth. I am Apostle Carlton Clark, coming to you from the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International here in the City of Glory. Gary, Indiana. Hallelujah. And we are at 2225 Roosevelt Place. God is truly blessing us. And we thank you for being with us here on today. We've been really blessed that over the past month, we've been talking about those kinds of things that are weapons of warfare. And because this is the Warfare Hour, we always want to talk a little bit about some weapons, but we also want to talk about what's going on in the world, how God is using us, and what He intends for us through the scriptures, through His word, for us to go forth and to beat this enemy, stomp on his head, cut his neck off, and continue to go forth not only in Jesus' name, but by the blood of Jesus. And that everybody that sees us will see a light that's shining on the top of a hill and will wonder, what is that over there? They'll be drawn to the light. And as they get closer and closer, the radiance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, will shine forth in us. So we come right now, Lord, just thanking you for allowing us to be here another day. And we pray that you would open our eyes that we may understand all of those things, oh God, that you have for us today. I would like for everyone to repeat after me, open thine mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And that's Psalms 119 and verse 18. And here at the warfare hour, we believe that failure is not an option. God has given us too many scriptures. He's given us too much information in his word where we can fight the enemy off, where we can go forth and beat the enemy at any game that he attempts to throw at us. So failure is not an option. We also believe that, as Philippians 4:13 says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is he who gives us our purpose. He left a comforter here, another comforter, to lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. And he told us to desire that we would have truth. And as we desire truth, we're going to get it. Matthew's the 7th chapter and the 7th verse clearly tells us that if we ask, that it shall be given unto us. It also goes on to state that if we will seek, that we shall find. And it further goes on to say that if we knock, that the doors shall be opened unto us. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name, O God. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. And we pray that you'll have an understanding of what it is that God has for us on today. If you recall last week, we touched on something that's very, very important, and that was the family. We went on to talk about the definition of the family, how the family was created, how God placed and ordained the family and the father to be the leader in the family. We also discussed how a righteous father is a blessing to the family. We had plenty of scriptures. I'm going to just give you a few of those from last week because I think it was important enough for you to remember. A righteous father is a blessing came from Psalms 112, verses 1 through 4. And God established the family and how that they are to be blessed. When a father declares allegiance to God and the family is established, an altar unto him, Joshua the 24th chapter and the 15th verse, and Genesis the 35th chapter, verse 1 through 5, tells us about that. It was also established that unity binds and strengthens the family. The scriptures that collaborate that are Psalms 133, verse 1 through 3, John, the 10th chapter, verse 16, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 3 through verse 6. And although we talked about very many things on last week, one of the things that was key to the family being a blessing is when we understand that wise counsel is always appropriate for the family. And that information basically comes from Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verse 3 through verse 6. Hallelujah. God has truly been blessing us. He's truly been inspiring us with some rhema word. And we pray that today is no different. On today, we want to talk about some of the warnings that God has given us and that he's placed at our fingertips. God recognized that we was going to have some problems doing everything that he desires for us to do. And because of this, all through the scriptures, he's given us keys, indications, prophetic utterances, and other like-minded sayings to remind us, to instruct us, to beg us, to plead with us, to warn us, even to command us to do certain things so that we would be able to stand in the last and evil day. If we don't do the things that God intends for us to do, many, many men, women, boys, and girls are going to be lost because they haven't received the fullness of what God intended for them to do while they're here in this earth suit. One of the warnings, in keeping with the father being the leader of the family, our text basically today is gonna key around this, but as you know, we do go through quite a few scriptures, so I'm going to again ask that you would have a pen, pencil, crayon, chalk, whatever it is that you intend to write with, or some kind of, you know, this is the 21st century, so if you got some kind of listening device, something that you can record this information and review it later, we encourage you to do so. But we pray that God will give us something that's going to be just that awesome. Amen? Amen. So we began with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 15. And y'all, you guys, if you've been listening to me at all, you know, I love to use the Amplified Bible. I'm going to try to remember to use the King James at least a few times in case that may be the Bible that you have. But I like the way the Amplified kind of stretches it out and explains it a little bit more in detail. And so I pray that it's good for you as well. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 15 out of the King James Bible says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And here, sons is synonymous with sons and daughters. So ladies, please don't think you're being left out. This is one of those times where sons is included. Without gender. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Hallelujah. The word is blessed. It truly, truly is blessed. I want to elaborate a little bit on that, but I want to read it out of the Amplified and share with you what God has shared with me. Again, say, I do not write this to shame you, but to warn and counsel you as my beloved children. That's verse 14. Verse 15 says, after all, though you should have 10,000 teachers, guides to direct you in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings or the gospel. Now, as I share with you, or I try to share with you each week, we have to put the scriptures in the text on the tense that they're dealing with. Here, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's trying to tell them about his beloved son in the ministry, Timothy. He had instructed the church at Corinth on the proper manner of things that he had received directly, straight download from Jesus Christ himself. You recall that many things that happened to Paul, he immediately transferred it or place some kind of form where he could preach it, teach it, expound on it, and let everyone know what thus said the Lord. So here he's trying to tell the church, you need to listen to the man I left over you. You know, he's writing this letter from a faraway place. I believe he was in prison here. And he recognized that he had to let the church know that this is who he left as the leader or the father, for he didn't know when and if he would ever be able to return. And so when I begin to elaborate or respond to that, I find that many of us have been hurt in the church. We've had some difficulties through either our own misconceptions concerning what God has intended for us, or we've been promised something in the ministry that we were involved in and that promise wasn't kept, or we love working, but being human, we like to get a pat on the back every now and again, and because nobody said good job, we got in a position of feeling unwanted, used, abused, stepped on, and many other names. But what has happened is we're growing, and as we grow, we have to put ourselves in a position of understanding that everyone doesn't grow in the same leaps and bounds as maybe we do, even those that are in our leadership. But we ought to pray for our leadership. We ought to obey the fullness of the leadership. As we pray for the leadership, we'll recognize that if God is intended for them to continue to be our leader, he will put in their heart the desires that come from those that are to help the leader. I've had some different ministry leaders that have said that if God didn't tell them that you were called to do a certain thing, that it wasn't so. And that's another thing that has caused a lot of people to run, even to give up ministry. But we declare here that God left fathers on the earth. He left many, many teachers and instructors that could tell you about Christ. But he didn't leave a whole lot of fathers. So when you get a true father, you really need to hold on to that, because that is the manner and means in which he left and he ordained here on the earth to be the way to go forth. The ministry is to excel and to grow through the concept of family, fathers and sons. And as I said earlier, you could say sons and daughters, because it's not to leave anyone out. But God has placed many mentors in our life. Sometimes we don't get everything that we need to get because our leader either is unable or unwilling to receive the information that can help us to grow. And one thing that I found is that God doesn't intend for us to be miserable in ministry. Therefore, God always gives us an out. He always will give us an escape route. In other words, he's going to send a mentor, a father, someone that you can sit under and get what it is that he designed for you to get, because you got a mission. It may be at that place, and you may have to stay there, but recall and remember that the reason that you're doing it is because God said do it. And because he said do it, we're bound to do it. God told us to study to show ourselves approved unto him, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. And we recognize that and know that, but sometimes we fall short of that. God in the creation, he created the Garden of Eden. And in that garden, in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 9, it talks about something that's real key here. it talks about, I'm reading out of the King James verse, and out of the ground God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. Colon. Remember last week I put emphasis on punctuations. It is key for us to recognize what these punctuations are and how they apply to the scriptures that we're reading. Next portion says, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, comma, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as I read that, I come across a reference, which is Revelation, the 22nd chapter and verse 2. So if you would, turn with us to Revelation, the 22nd chapter and verse 2. Now, I don't know how many of you believe in revelation knowledge, but if you don't believe in it, you really need to begin to believe in it. Because God is, if you don't believe it, then how do you know that you were called to do whatever it was that you were called to do? Because it's not written in any book anywhere. Somebody had to be talking to you. Somebody had to reveal to you that they intended for you to do the will of God. You might have got it in a prophecy. You might have got it in a dream, in a vision. Or God might have spoke to you personally. And in any event, that's revelation knowledge. There are certain things that only God can do. And yes, he does use man to orchestrate and to make things happen. That's what I was saying about the fathers. He left preachers and teachers and evangelists and apostles and prophets, and he left us here on the earth to do certain things. But all of it is to edify him and to put us in a position of doing what he intended for us to do. Revelation 22, verse 2 says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, here's where I got some revelation knowledge. And remember I said earlier, open thy mind eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I used the same revelation I spoke in on one of the other occasions that I had to speak, but it's important enough to bring up again. Here, this tree of life, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything about Jesus is life. He has said that he was the tree of life. With that being true, he did have 12 disciples that became 12 apostles, which he left the church with. The founders of the information that he left are the 12 manner of fruit, which are the fruit of the tree, which is of Jesus. For he picked them. He nurtured them. He seeded them. He watered them. And then he left the power and authority and anointing for them to manifest and go forth and to do the same thing that he did. But here it says, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. The leaves of the tree comes from the fruit. And the fruit develops seeds and leaves, and they heal or are here for the healing of the nations. This is what we're talking about through generation, but it's all key on Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope I didn't go too fast for you. I hope you got all of that, because the bottom line is God uses so many different things to show us where he is and what he intends for us to do. Let's go back over to Genesis. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, I really appreciate the way God is just pouring out this information. Genesis, the second chapter, going back to the second chapter, verse 16 and verse 17. This is the recorded first warning that God gave to man, to mankind. It says, and the Lord God commanded. A command is the same, is also a warning. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But verse 17, because if you look there, there's a colon. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. All through the scriptures, God has warned us of separating ourselves from him. In John, the book of John, we're going to be going to verse 1 and through, verse 1 through verse 3. But there's something about that book of John. It was different than the other scriptures. It was different than the other gospels in that John has some stuff in it that the other gospels didn't have. For, as an example, John contained no parables. You know, this is like, in case you didn't know stuff. It didn't have any parables in it. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there was only two recorded miracles, but in John, it was five. Five miracles was reported in John. The purpose of this gospel is to report the signs usually called miracles in other gospels, so that the reader might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through believing he might obtain life eternally. The signs which the author reports give evidence of Christ's supernatural power in areas of life. And the word believe or trust, adhere to, or rely on occurs 98 times throughout just the book of John. Jesus is introduced in this book as the Word. He's also identified as the essence of God's revelation as he relived in this world, or as he lived in this world. He is listed as the Lamb of God. And as the Lamb, he provides salvation for whoever believes or trusts or adheres to or relies on him. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God is repeated over and over and over again in John. At the same time, however, the humanity of Jesus is reflected also in John like it is in no other gospel, where it talks about how weary he was, how impatient and sorrowful he was, how appreciative, and even how loving he was. Now, all through the scriptures, we had prophets, but the prophets, they basically said things differently than Jesus did. See, the prophet said things such as, thus says the Lord. But Jesus said, I am. All through this book, Jesus said, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am, I am, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. All through this book of John, this gospel talked about Jesus in a way that no others did. And as you recall, we're talking about the tree of life, who is Jesus. We're talking about a warning that was given about eating of the other tree that was in the midst of the garden. Notice he didn't tell him he couldn't eat from the tree of life, but the first Adam, he ate from the tree that God told him he couldn't eat from. John, the first chapter, verse 1. Reads like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, which is Jesus, and without him or the Word, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness and light cannot coexist. The best thing that darkness could be is a shadow of light. However, the enemy wants to put himself above the light. Just because he was given a position of great importance, and that's what has happened to many of us, as I talked earlier, when we began to get elevated. You know, I was really blessed. So, you know, I kind of went through the trenches. As a kid, I was an usher, sang in the choir, was part of the youth, layman. As then, you know, I had some years where, you know, ran away like most of some of y'all might have did as well. But when I came back, I got involved with the layman. I was made a trustee in my church, you know, and then I became a deacon. Then one day, well, God was talking to me all along. But the same thing was happening to me in regular life. You know, not just in my spiritual life. I was always placed in a position of authority. I wasn't understanding it, but I had a lot of favor. Favor just all over the place. Should have been in jail, should have got killed, should have got whooped. And even though some of those things did happen, I still, by the grace of God, was able to continue. And here I am today, preaching the gospel and teaching, being a sent one from him, using me in a manner that I can activate some stuff in folks, learning more and more of him day and day. And I don't take it for granted, but what has happened is I done had to sit under. I done had to go through some times when stuff that was going on with me, I did some running just like some of us that are listening tonight. Some of y'all done ran. Ran here and ran over there. Oh, that grass looks so green over there. Ain't no brown, ain't no thistles, ain't no bugs. Man, look at those flowers over there. They look like they're pictures. But we couldn't wait to get over there because they got a lot of good stuff going on over there. I won't be part of that. They'll use me over there. And the enemy convinced us to leave a place of comfort because we was learning some stuff. This one learning sometimes as quick as we thought we should have. And we may have had an attitude that we was a little greater than some other folks. But guess what? They had a different anointing than we had. God used them in the anointing that they was good in. And, you know, like we say in the secular world sometimes, we was hating. I'm not going to put that W-E and include y'all. I was hating. I was hating, and I was putting myself in a position of misery. But when you begin to sit under and you heed the warnings that God has clearly placed, when you begin to study and show yourself approved unto God, when you put everything else out the way, then the stuff starts jumping off the page. Then the promotions start coming rapidly, so rapidly that you can't handle it. Then what? Oh, yeah, you want it. Now you got it. What you going to do with it? Woo! Hallelujah. God ain't no joke. But guess what? Neither are you. You're not a joke. You had good intentions when you were doing all of that. And you made some mistakes. God has all prepared a path. And he says straight is the way. He's told us that if you stay close to the center line, you're all right. But because he's given us free will, it's like a dog on a leash. And I'm not calling nobody a dog. I'm using a example of how when you have an animal that's on a leash and you let the animal go, if you don't tug the leash, that animal is going to go further and further away from where you are. And that's what happens to us. We ain't no different. God needs to gently tug us sometimes. Sometimes I'm one of them. I'm kind of like a mule. Maybe there's one or two in the audience that might be kind of like myself. I know I've been talking to one of my friends from, it was a Coast Guard buddy of mine, and he and I were so close, we did some of everything together, some real shenanigans. But he can agree with me that both of us are one of those kind of guys that sometimes we got to get hit in the head with a 2x4. Square between the eyes before somebody get our attention. I know that's what happened to me on several occasions. And you may be like myself. You may need to be hit with a 2x4 before you understand what it is God really is intending for you. God continues to warn us and give us commands. He's did it from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. When I read to John, an introduction concerning John, God wanted us to know that, hey, before time, I was there. See, we want to put God like he's so far away that he can't help us. But see, he's sitting right beside you in the form of the Holy Spirit, whispering in your ear, and sometimes, yeah, he hits you with a 2x4. Only when God said, yeah, go on, hit that fool. Because he finna mess up real bad, or she finna mess up real bad. Hit him with a 2x4, and he'll understand that. Well, she'll understand that, because we'll understand. God got a way of reaching each and every one of us. But he has warned us, and we're talking about warnings today. He has warned us so many things, and we don't even recognize it. So as I come to my close, let's go over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 15. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 15, talking about false prophets. It says here, and I'm reading out of Amplified, beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. Verse 16, you will fully recognize them by their fruits, plural. I'm not going to continue reading that, but you know just as good. Look at the people around you. If you just pay attention a little bit, you see good fruit and rotten fruit. Good fruit doesn't have a smell. It's not mushy. It's not wishy-washy. It's got a clean, crisp, clear. It make you want to just bite off into it. You know, it's not mushy. It's not on the ground. It's usually elevated. It's not bad. Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 24, again, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified because, again, God continues to warn us about different things. But we don't want sometime to heed the warning. Verse 24 says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. Verse 25 says, see, I have warned you beforehand. When we look over there and see that grass on the other side looking all good, God done already told us this. Right now, talk about gold, about jewelry. Back in the 40s, they had a gold rush in California, or going west. But when they got there, there was some gold that looked just like gold, but it wasn't gold. They called it fool's gold. And we falling for the same thing over and over and over again. Fool's gold. False prophets, false Christ. Folks that claim to be the Messiah. If you've been listening to any of the hip-hop, some of the hip-hop guys that's out there in the world, they're claiming to be Christ. They claim to be Jehovah. They claim to be the Savior. And guess what? Some of us, talking about mankind, not in the body of Christ. I pray that the body of Christ ain't. But many of us are falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 13. 2 Corinthians. We're almost done for the night. These are warnings. God is continuing to warn us. We really need to take heed to what it is that God is telling us, because he's trying to keep us from getting killed. He's trying to keep us on the straight and narrow, keep us from losing our salvation, our life, allowing some stuff to make us go to hell. Hell is a real place. It is a very, very real place. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 13. And it reads, for such men are false apostles. Oh, Lord. Spurious counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, as special messengers of Christ the Messiah. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You don't think that was happening back in the day? Paul was warning the church at Corinth. Y'all need to be listening to the one I left in front of you, to the mentor I left there. Y'all need to be paying attention to him. I know that he is going to do it the way God said do it. God told us that if we followed the footsteps of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we was going to reap some benefits. So it's been handed down through generations that we were to hear the truth and to be able to recognize it when we saw it. We have to begin to be more discerning about the things that are going on in our lives. We have to allow God to be the one to truly lead, guide, and direct us. We need to stay put, like in the movie Roots, Fiddler, one of them named their daughter Kizzy, which means stay put. And we need to stay put sometimes. But as I said, God don't intend for us to be miserable in ministry. For a season, you're allowed to go any and everywhere for a season. God intends, that's why we take vacations. We work. It's four seasons in a year, in a linear year. Here in the United States, we got spring, fall, summer, and winter, and pretty much three-quarters of the geographical locations in the United States. Four different seasons. We get to change clothes. We get to put out new wardrobes, new shoes, new coats, new hats, new gloves, all manner of things to help us usher in that season. God is no different. There's seasons for, he said there's a season, there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh. There's a time to fight, and there's a time to be peaceful. There's a time to go to war, and there's a time to lay down. There's a time to sleep, and there's a time to get up. There's a time to have fun. There's a time to go to the grind. There's a time to get busy about doing God's business, and there's a time to be silent, shut up. There's a time for everything. There's a time for sowing, and there's a time for reaping. I don't have a problem with prosperity preachers. But that's not the only thing that God talks about. Plus, in order for you to reap, what is it that you're talking about reaping? Prosperity got to do with life, not with just money. I enjoy that I've not been sick in 8 years. I haven't had a cold. I haven't had a flu. I praise God for that. That's favor. That's prosperity. I'm able to go to work whether I've been to work or not. I still can walk. I still can talk. I still can use my, I can still see. I don't have to wear glasses. I don't have to use prosthetics or anything yet. Any of those kinds of things. That's prosperity. I'm blessed to be able to get all manner of jobs. I'm blessed to be able to do more than one thing. My mind is intact. My season is to do what God has for me to do in the time that he tells me to do it. As long as we remember to do that, we're going to be in good shape. There's many of us that's been accused. The enemy is there to accuse us. He's there to put us in a position that we'll even accuse ourselves of some stuff. God did leave with us dominion, authority, and power. Genesis 1 and 26, which we've been talking about pretty much every week, said that God created man in his own image and likeness. He breathed the breath of life into man. Man became a living soul. And it went on to say in following verses that he gave dominion, power, and authority over everything pretty much on the earth. God didn't do that lightly. First of all, in Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5, it talks about, he said, hey, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. That implies something. It implies that, hey, guess what? We made a covenant. We're spirit. There's spirit on the inside of us. We need to operate in the spirit. And because we're in the spirit, we need to be able to go forth, to understand, to draw from all the things that God has given us, because he already gave us instructions before we got here, before we came out the womb, before we even went in the womb. He said, okay, look here, Carlton. When you go down to the earth, you're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And I said, yes, sir. Said, okay, go on down there to your body. That's really about the way it happened. But he ordained it so that it would come true. But he left us with our own will to be able to make it happen or not. and you don't really want to be taken out before you fulfill the will of God. Ask God what your purpose is, men and women of Christ, kingdom-minded folks. Allow God. He's warning us. He's showing us. He's sending people to us. Even out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, he's letting us hear and see all manner of things. The handwriting's on the wall. He's allowing us to see. Look up sometime and look at the clouds. You can see the demons in the clouds hovering over you, those territorial demons. Start declaring that they disperse. Start doing what God has said. We've been talking about the keys to the kingdom for the past month. We're going to go back into that on next week, a recap of the kingdom keys, or the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Those keys are important for us to fight this warfare. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you for allowing us to come together once more and again. And Father, we just pray even right now, oh God, that everyone that heard the sound of my voice today is going to be able to receive what it is that you had for them on today. I declare and decree, Father, that your word go forth, has gone forth, Father, with a fullness and a richness, Father, that only you can ensure. I pray that there be no retaliation of God or no retribution of anything that's been said or done on tonight. In Christ Jesus' name, hallelujah. We're going to ask that you would open up the phone lines right now. And if the lines are open, if you got a question for us or if you got a comment about what you've been hearing on the Warfare Hour, encourage us. Let us know how you feel, how it's going out. And so we're going to open the lines up right now. We thank you in the studios. If you open up the lines and allow. Hallelujah. Okay, the lines are open.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Good evening, Apostle Clark. This is Tammy Russell. And I am a member of this White Christian Center here in Gary, Indiana, up under Apostle Leonard T. Emmons. And I have enjoyed so much of you bringing the Word of God tonight, man of God. You know, I told you, I like being around you, Apostle Clark. And I've seen God do some magnificent things in you since the time that I've met you over a year ago. And, man of God, you just inspire me so much. And I just thank you for staying in the Word like you do and bringing it to God's people like you do. And sometimes, you know, I think, Apostle Clark, I say he don't get tired. He stay busy in the Word all the time. You're online. You're online. You're in the Word. I'm talking about you, Apostle Clark. You're online and on the computer. You putting the Word in online, getting it to the people. You bring it to the studies. You just bring it all the time. So I mean, you walk the Word. You eat the Word. I know you have to sleep the Word. Man of God, that's so inspiring to me. Into my
family.
I thank you for the encouragement all the time, Apostle Clark. Thank you for being on the line, and thank you for standing as a warrior of Christ. Amen.
God bless you. We appreciate that. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. The lines are still open. We still got a few more minutes. All right, the lines are still open. Hallelujah. Okay, we got 6 more minutes for the lines to be open. And so, again, we thank God for you. Coming forth, and as the lines are open, you can just, in case you didn't know it, you need to press 1 so that the prompter will know that you want to talk. And that's how you get in to talk, is you press that one, and that gets you into the line. Amen? Amen. Well, we also intend to feature some warriors in the musical field, warriors that have blessed us, helped us to grow in the areas that we felt we needed growth in. God will send you to a place, if you allow him, that's unlike any place you've ever been. And so I'm going to pray right now, Father, that you would open up the eyes of understanding of those that are still listening, oh God, the ears. Ephatha, oh God, open up their ears, Father, that there be no deafness, Father, from hearing your word. Father, we pray a blessing on the families that are represented on tonight, Father. Those that have pressed their way, Father, that may not have a means of doing anything but just listening, trying to get to the word of God. We bless those that have come to share with us, oh God, those that you placed in our lives here recently, those new converts. I mean, those that have come and fellowshiped with us, oh God. We thank you for those that have inputted into our lives, Father, those other pastors, preachers, teachers, associates, Father, evangelists, prophets, those prophecies that have been given to us, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the apostolic, Father, the ability to go forth, Father, and to do some things, Father, that we never felt that we'd be able to do before. We pray that everyone would have an apostolic calling in their lives, Father. Not that they have to be an apostle, but they need to be kingdom-minded, Father, and have an apostolic authority, Father. Let we pray even right now, Father, that those that desire the tongues, so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, will receive it, Father, that they will be able to use the weapons of warfare in a manner like they've never used them before, and that the enemy won't be able to hoodwink them, Father, or bamboozle them in any manner of warfare, manner or shape, oh God. But that they'll be able, Father, to go forth and continue just whooping on them, oh Lord. To drive them off the planet, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for allowing us, Father, to even have a language, Father, that edifies, yes, ourselves, Father, but it comes from you. And, Father, just to strengthen us in areas that we are weak, oh God. We ask that you just get into our psyche and into consciousness, oh God, and saturate us, Father, with your presence, oh God. That you go forth, Father. God, you enjoy the music. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you, God, for blessing us. We still got a minute and a half. Somebody might just want to say, hey. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to end. We're going to bless our covering, Apostle Lena Emmons of the Liverway Christian Center here in the city of Gary. And we're going to be having appreciation for him on next week. If you're in the city, come on down and let the man of God know that you care about him. Also, we want to thank you for tuning in each week. We recognize that you are definitely praying for us. We thank you for your prayers. But we recognize that we wouldn't be able to do those things that we're doing if it were not for your prayer. We also thank you for being who God says you are. Just do what God told you to do. Go forth and do what God do. Remember, failure is not an option, because God left too many scriptures for us to show us, and that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name. Thank you for tuning in with us on today. We'll see you next week. Hallelujah. We will go forth on that.